Well, we love when we hippity-hoppity off to a different land. This morning, we talked to our good friend Connie Brooks from Battenkill Books in Cambridge, New York, for our book list. She has traveled around the literary globe. She has collected amazing tomes after spending lots of time of reading and inspecting and studying. Connie joins us this Tuesday morning with a terrific list of books to share. Connie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning. I'm well.
Well, it's great to talk to you. It's great that the store is back open, and I'm very happy. Tell us the state of Battenkill Books.
Oh, the state of Battenkill Books is that we have reopened, so we have hours that right now are changing a little bit week to week, so I've been encouraging folks to call ahead or check our website for the most up-to-date hours, but we are here, people are back in the store browsing, and it's a lovely thing. We've been observing folks come in, and this feeling of peace washes over them as they're back in a bookstore to browse, and so that makes us feel really good.
It feels so good walking in there and just being amongst book friends is amazing. And so congratulations for weathering the storm.
Thank you.
And good luck in the future storm. So let us begin with where the great books that you've picked out for us. Where would you like to begin?
All right. So I will start. I have two novels to start with, and they both take place in the course of a single day. So we will begin with The Party Upstairs by Lee Connell, where the action of the story takes place in a matter of hours in just one New York City apartment building, as tensions between the building's super and his adult daughter build to a boiling point. Ruby has grown up as the super's daughter in the basement unit of an Upper West Side co-op that gets more gentrified with each passing year. Though not from a family of means, her close childhood friendship with Caroline, the daughter of affluent tenants, and the mere fact of living in such a wealthy neighborhood has brought Ruby certain advantages and even expectations. Ruby sets her sights high and takes on hefty student loans to attend a small, prestigious liberal arts college and explore her interest in art. But now, out of school for a while, she is no closer to her dream job or anything resembling it, and she's been forced by circumstances to move back in with her parents, back into the basement. And tonight, her old friend Caroline is throwing one of her lavish parties in her father's glorious penthouse apartment, a party Ruby looks forward to and dreads in equal measure. So that's The Party Upstairs by Lee Connell.
All right.
And then the next one, also taking place in just a matter of hours. So with this recommendation, I'll just say it may seem contrary to recommend a book about a rapidly spreading virus, which is overtaking hospitals and upending the world, but there is something oddly comforting about reading Survivor Song by Paul Tremblay and realizing, hey, it could always be worse. So in Survivor Song, in just a matter of weeks, Massachusetts has been overrun by an insidious rabies-like virus that is spread by saliva. But unlike rabies, the disease has a terrifyingly short incubation period of an hour or less. Those infected quickly lose their minds and are driven to bite and infect as many others as they can before they inevitably succumb. Hospitals are inundated and hysteria has taken hold. To try to limit its spread, the Commonwealth is under quarantine and curfew. But society is breaking down and the government's emergency protocols are faltering. In the midst of the developing chaos, Dr. Ramola Sherman, a soft-spoken pediatrician in her mid-30s, receives a frantic phone call from Natalie, a friend who is 8 months pregnant. Natalie's husband has been killed by an infected neighbor, and in a failed attempt to save him, Natalie, too, was bitten. Natalie's only chance of survival is to get to a hospital as quickly as possible to receive a rabies vaccine. The clock is ticking for her and for her unborn child. A desperate odyssey ensues, and if your heart rate has gone up hearing me describe the story, just wait until you're reading the actual book.
Wow. So another great one. Next up.
So one more novel for my list, and next I have Rotherweird by Andrew Caldicott, which is an unusual story that mixes fantasy and historical fiction in a mashup that is hard to categorize. The story has roots in Elizabethan England, and there are tantalizing clues relayed about 12 children, all born at the same time, possessing unusual talents, who are banished to a remote English village to protect them from a jealous and unpredictable outside world. 4.5 centuries on, the village of Rotherweird is a political anomaly, self-governing, essentially closed to outsiders from the rest of England, and most significantly, under a dictate that history before 1800 cannot be studied or even mentioned. A menacing outsider arrives who seems intent on digging up the past, even though his own memory has seemingly been wiped clean. So those are my three novels.
All right, now, that was Rotherweird by Andrew Caldicott. Okay, next, yes.
Switching over to nonfiction for my next two recommendations, I have The Cold Vanish, Seeking the Missing in North America's Wildlands by John Billman. For readers who enjoy John Krakauer and Douglas Preston, this is author and journalist John Billman's in-depth look at people who vanish in the wilderness and those sometimes eccentric, determined characters who try to find them. You'll meet bloodhound handler Duff, who began trailing with the family dog after his brother vanished in the San Gabriel Mountains, and Michael Negger, backcountry search and rescue expert and self-described bushman obsessed with missing persons, and top researcher of persons who have gone missing on public lands, former San Jose, California detective David Politis, who is also one of the world's foremost Bigfoot researchers. The truth is that it's still a big world out there. Someone will vanish in the wild tomorrow. This book is about the people who will go looking for those folks.
And the name of the book is The Cold Vanish, Seeking the Missing in North America's Wildlands by John Billman. Okay.
Another fascinating nonfiction book that I am particularly excited about. This book is called Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World by Olga Kazan. Most of us at some point in our lives have felt like an outsider, sometimes considering ourselves too weird to fit in. Growing up as a Russian immigrant in West Texas, Olga Kazan always felt there was something different about her. This feeling has permeated her life, and as she embarked on a science writing career, she realized there were psychological connections between this feeling of being an outsider and both her struggles and successes later in life. She decided to reach out to other people who were unique in their environments to see if they had experienced similar feelings of alienation, and if so, to learn how they overcame them. The book Weird explores why it is that we crave conformity and how that affects people who are different. First, the book dives into the history of social norms and why some people hew to them more strictly than others. Kazan then reveals the hidden upsides to being weird, as well as the strategies that people who are different might use in order to achieve success in a society that values normalcy. Finally, the book follows the trajectories of several unique individuals who either decided to be among others just like them, to stay weird, or to dwell somewhere in between.
I think I like in between. What do you think?
I like in between,
yeah.
And I can relate to this book. I try to embrace the weird around here, more or less.
Weird, The Power of Being an Outsider in an Insider World. Your position may vary. Olga Kazan is the author of that book. All right, next up.
All right, and then I wrap up with two young adult novels, the first of which is The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea by Maggie Takuda Hall, which is set in a magical world beset by colonialism, arranged marriages, and slavery. An orphan, once known as Flora, is now the pirate Florian, who does what it takes to survive, including sailing under a false flag on the ship known as the Dove. Lady Evelyn Hasegawa, a high-born imperial daughter, is on board as well. But Evelyn's one-way voyage to an arranged marriage in the floating islands is interrupted when the captain and crew show their true colors and enslave their wealthy passengers. Both Florian and Evelyn have lived their lives by the rules and whims of others. But when they fall in love, they decide to take fate into their own hands, no matter the cost. Takuda Hall's debut novel incorporates magic, queer romance, intrigue, and swashbuckling adventure in a story that reads like an undiscovered classic with plenty of modern flair.
Name of that book, no problem. The name of that book is The Mermaid, the Witch, and the Sea by Maggie Takuda Hall. All right, finally.
And my last one, again, this is a young adult fantasy novel, and I end with A Peculiar Peril by Jess Vandermeer, which introduces us to the teenager Jonathan Lambshead and two trusted friends. Jonathan has just inherited his grandfather's rambling, overstuffed mansion, if he can first catalog everything within its sprawling rooms. Jonathan and his friends soon discover that the house is filled with more than just oddities. They find three mysterious doors that open into strange lands, and clues linking Jonathan's family to an alt-Earth land called Aurora, where an occultist named Alistair Crowley is bent on taking over that world and ours. Jonathan must piece together his destiny as a member of a secret society devoted to keeping our world separate from Aurora. A Peculiar Peril is a witty and rollicking tale great for fans of Neil Gaiman and Patrick Rothfuss.
The name of the book is A Peculiar Peril by Jess Vandermeer. Anything else going on in the bookstore that you would like us to know about?
Just, you know, we're working out what events will be looking like. We're such a small store that being socially distant at events is tough. We have a book club coming up. Our next one is going to be in August, but we will try to do it outside, and we'll be reading The Secrets We Kept by Laura Prescott.
Okay.
So we've got lots of plans, but nothing too definite yet.
And what has struck me the other day when I was in the store and is that you still are doing curbside, you're still doing indoor, some people are coming inside, some people still want their stuff outside, and it all seems, from just my view of coming in for a few minutes, it seems like things are going pretty well.
We have been busier than ever, which is a lovely thing, and I think there's a lot of different reasons for that. I think so many events have been canceled this summer that folks are turning to, you know, oh, let's read, let's do activities in our backyard, for example. And we just have great support in this wonderful community up here in Cambridge and our surrounding towns. So.
Well, it's all wonderful stuff. You've done a beautiful job, and congratulate you and wish you all the best in the coming weeks and months as well. It is the Bat and Kill Bookstore there in Cambridge, New York, and you can find out more information by going to their website, batandkillbooks.com, and pretty much everything you need to know right there. Right, Connie? Everything
That's
is on,
right.
the, on the website.
Absolutely.
Your book list is on the website as well. The books list is on our website, WAMC.org/roundtable, just look for book picks, and Connie's picks will be on there. Again, batandkillbooks.com for Bat and Kill Books in Cambridge, New York. Connie Brooks, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing your picks with us. Thank you. Have a beautiful July. Thank you.
You too. Thanks so much.
Again, batandkillbooks.com. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.